Yeah, so as we contemplate, you know, that which is the culmination of some of the things we've been considering, well, one of the things brought up is that, you know, our capacity to be able to hear is going to vary from listener to listener. So, you know, it behooves, I know when I was assigned to a particular church where I was ordained, I heard things often that was just beyond my reach at the time. And so what I would do is I would review, you know, various messages. One of the messages which I reviewed, several of them, was the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was, I forget how many, I think it was 268 hours of verse by verse in the book of Hebrews. So I had to do, I went through it about three times because, you know, each time I recognized that there was things that I needed to review. And so I heard different things and more each time. Not everybody has that kind of time, I realize that, but that's what I needed to do. Also studying the life of David, which was in three increments. The pastor went through the life of David, then he intercalated this, the various psalms chronologically that were that would be integrated into the life of David, and that was really tremendous, man. I mean, that was just brought the Word of God alive. And then when we did the study of the life of Abraham, that was really, really marvelous. So what I'm saying is that you just be persistent whatever time God gives you and whatever you do with your time and you redeem your time, there is a cross involved where you feed the spiritual man at the expense and death to the old man. And it's just part of the building things up. So one of the things that Sparks had mentioned, he said, if believers, when they're brought to the Lord, if you just give them that, you know, that Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins, and that's all they're left with, then they're left here not knowing why they're still here. And if they think, well, you're saved to serve, well, you can only serve in the measure in that you know the calling and the purpose. And so the service has to come out of really seeing what the purpose of God is. That's Ephesians 3:11. And so I remember Sparks speaking on different occasions of this, either in writing or some of the audios, that if a believer is presented with the full thought and purpose of God right up front, even though they may not, they obviously won't get, you know, understand all, then they will have that which will give them compass, give them an incentive to grow. And I'll give you an example. I talked with, what is it, Betty, and what was her husband there? And it was on her oak, Betty, and I forgot his name, David, I think it was David Harris, with the Lord now. And as I was interviewing different people who grew up at Honor Oak, she mentioned to me when I talked with her that her and her husband were married by Sparks and they were baptized by Sparks. And as a little girl, she remembers growing up there in Honor Oak, and they didn't have Sunday school. So whenever they gathered, the children were always there, but Sparks only spoke to the adults. There was never any Sunday school. You know, this doesn't mean if there's Sunday school, you're doing something wrong. I'm just saying this is the way it was there. And so Betty said, what was that like for you? I mean, there's Sunday school, you're just sitting there, and this man of immense stature is speaking the Word of God, and here you are, children. Oh, we had things we played with, we did like kids. But in the back of our mind, it always registered when we were together. I don't understand what that man is saying, but someday I must know. And so there was that sense of destiny that was surrounding the atmosphere that drew them into, so as they grew, they were brought into understanding the purpose of God, but they were first exposed to an atmosphere of a sense of destiny. I don't understand, but I need to know what that man is saying. So any other thoughts about our time today? Questions? Yeah, go ahead.
So when you were talking about how, when was Satan, you know, like where he was stripped, and that was on the cross, and yeah, that God in that moment stripped Satan and overpowered him. I don't know why, but I just got this mental image. Now, we know God doesn't have, like, we can't visualize him, but this tremendous strength. And I don't think he just kind of, okay, you're stripped now. I mean, I just see this like roaring, like force of, I don't know, I can't even put it into words. It's like in that moment, his son is hanging there, and there's that, he comes down and he says, in your face, and he strips him. I just love that mental image. And then where he, in Luke 11, 22, where it talks about him, the armor, that he takes away from him, all the armor, which is the essence of Christ, you know, that new birth experience and all that. You know, he captured it for himself, on which he had relied. It's like, oh, I love that. Like, whenever we come alongside someone, then we're helping to take away from him his armor on which he relies. Yeah. And I thought, wow, I kind of like those kind of mental images that of really what we're doing. I think today, maybe for the first time, I had a more visual of what it's all about. I mean, I've known it, I've heard it, I believe it, but it was just, I don't know why, it just like was so, how everything synchronized and so forth, just really kind of blessed me, because it's like, it's old, and sometimes I'm like, do I really want to hear about this? I mean, I don't even want to hear about that person in that other country or that other state or whatever. I mean, we've lived it, we've been through it, do we have to hear everybody else's stuff, you know? But it really kind of puts things in perspective. So for me, I was really, really challenged, but I just love seeing the mighty, you know, how we hear all about how wonderful, all of Satan's power and everything he can do, but how much more powerful is our God, and to bear testimony to that.
Yeah, and he says he was, in 2 Corinthians 13:4, it says he was crucified through weakness, but he lives by the power of God. The Greek actually says he was crucified out from the source of weakness, but he, present tense, lives according to the power of God. So crucified, aorist tense, that had already happened. He right now, as the glorified Son of Man, lives by the power of God. So as the perfected man in glory, he still lives by the power of God. So he did that individually in his incarnation. But in resurrection, now is the corporate head, the last Adam and second man, he lives by the power of God. So they ask yourself the question, how do you live? If you're living anything outside of that which represents who he is right now in resurrection, living by the power of God, it's not the Christian life. Because he is the Christian life. He is the life that lives to God, Romans 6, 10, 11.
I just wanted to comment, just when you were talking about what's going on in Hawaii and the shaking of the things in the heavens that shake the earth, I thought about Ephesians 1, where it says all things are going to be summed up in Christ, things first in the heavens and then on the earth.
Amen. Anything else? So we just thank you again and cast this upon you, Lord, and everything that is heard. We thank you that it's from you, through you, and to you all things be glory forever. We thank you that, praise you, that Jesus Christ was crucified in weakness. Satan thought he had triumphed. And had they known what they were doing, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan didn't know that the very snare that he was setting, he got hung on his own gallows. So we thank you for Esther being the Old Testament type. Haman builds the gallows to destroy your inheritance, and he gets hung on the gallows that he built. So it was a Roman cross, and yet it was the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you that the cross is the supreme judicial domain in which everything is settled. Mm-hmm. With principalities and powers, the death of the old man, the gateway to the resurrection life of the new man, the mighty cross, for us, never ends there, but it's always the doorway to the new beginning, the life of the ages, the indestructible life. So may we enter in, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.